Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, as the scriptures we read and the word proclaimed bear witness to the truth in our hearts and minds, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 7. Listen for God's word. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe you shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatted cows, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not bound up the injured, you have not brought back the strays. So you have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and scattered they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on the very high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth, with no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of John is heavy on love. 57 uses of the verb relating to love. Jamie Clark Soles points out that the only commandment in John is the one from chapter 13, in which we are told to love one another. It is by this love that the disciples of Jesus will be known. So let's listen to the living word from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live in you, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. May your Spirit stir us anew so that we feel the love in and through everything we encounter. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I've often heard when teaching Sunday school for youth or children, or maybe even adults, if you don't know the answer to the question, it is Jesus, God, love. Yes, those three. Those pop to the top. They're good, safe bets. Today, we're pulling out another person of the Trinity that's a little harder to get our hands around, a little fuzzier to deal with, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is enwrapped in love. In last week's sermon, I ended with a charge that said, go out into the world seeking to love deeper and better. It's all that easy and it's all that hard. Love is something that I mentioned that the Gospel of John does not ever let go of. The Holy Spirit this week is bracketed with two verses about love. The Beatles had it right. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. John Lennon wrote All You Need Is Love for the Our World broadcast because it was a message that couldn't be mistaken. The song was simple and repetitive and all about love. The message was very clear. John Lennon said he liked it because it was revolutionary. Articles in the music world used words like propaganda, humanitarian, and political. Lennon himself said that his work was dedicated to change. Wow, all you need is love? In church, we nod our heads and we smile. It's a love Holy Spirit sermon. Yeah. But this is radical and threatening. Look at the Pope's messages about love. Look at the fights across the world. Love has the power to move us in ways that nothing else ever will. So maybe bracketing the Holy Spirit message this week in the middle of a command to love isn't softening the message at all. Love is a basic need. It's a craving, and it's magnetic. The fear of those listening to Jesus in this text is that they were about to be left alone. They were about to be unloved. The loneliness epidemic has swept the world and has driven us, in many ways, to artificial replacements. New York Times Magazine reports that in a survey they did of about 2,000 people, 80% of the men admitted to wanting to replace human relationships with an AI relationship. CBS News tells of a woman marrying her AI companion. Google AI reports millions of people forming deep emotional romantic bonds with AI companions. Yeah, I get it. I got the statistic from AI. I know. But studies show that AI can be more intimate. It can be a more open conversation partner, and its responses, especially on romantic topics. Self-disclosure for AI doesn't carry the same risk as sitting across face-to-face from someone with deeply emotional responses. That's how AI learns, is the disclosure from what we say. How do we learn? I stay in touch with many of my friends via online accounts, but when that becomes our only connection, are they enough? When the tool replaces the relationship instead of empowering or enhancing it, what then? Where is the risk found in this of being challenged, of learning something new from each other, of stretching by encountering people who look, think, and believe differently from us? If we delete all the risk, is the love genuine? Is the relationship fake and stagnant instead of nudging us into growth? Are we so afraid of being unacceptable, rejected, or alone that it's become self-fulfilling? If I send a text or an email or reach out online, then I don't have to talk to you or meet with you in person. I don't see the disappointment or the rejection. I don't see the anger. I don't see your face. But I also don't see acceptance or love. It softens any emotions, and it can even lead to more misunderstandings and barriers. Zoom lets me stay in my jammies, but it also eliminates the option to have coffee or lunch afterwards. We're safe, or are we? Love and relationships are an integral part to our health, to our faith, to our lives, to our even definitions of ourselves. Yet fear keeps creeping in. I've often heard people say that they could believe in God if only they could go back in time and see Jesus. To see God. But here is Jesus saying, "I am sending another. You do not need to fear," Jesus says. "I'm sending an advocate." Well, you saw the kids' faces with that advocate and trying to define Holy Spirit. What does that look like? I picture maybe a protector, a paid lawyer, someone to defend me, or maybe a breath, a bubble that's fleeting. How do these images carry over into today to bring us comfort? What kind of companionship is that offering? How many people feel like you've got the Holy Spirit all figured out? Yeah, okay. This person of our Trinity is hard to grasp. It's with us, but what do we visualize? I love using bubbles because it captures the aspect of ruach, or breath, that you can't quite see the air around you, and it captures the joy of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, we all put on red, and we deck out the sanctuary with flame imagery, and remember the flames on top of everybody's heads, the power of God in the rushing wind, a roar, but it's also a gentle breeze, a descending dove. What do you envision? So I need a show of hands. How many people the Spirit is gentle and peaceful? And how many people is it the roaring flame of power? When I asked the confirmants that question this year, they differed, and not just a little. We had the two opposites, the gentle touch and the comfort, and the power and the roaring assertiveness. God is both the undefined, the yes and. I used technology, of course I did, to see what it thought the image of the Holy Spirit was. Doves actually won out in that search. But flames were a close second right behind. One image from a Catholic website even had a dove with flames on its wings. Okay, the AI does learn from us. Both the fiery and the gentle images are encompassed in this presence of God with us. One image that spoke to me really well was of a hand, and that open hand gently held a flame. The powerful flame cupped in the hand, open, receiving and offering light and peace, but not being burned or harmed at all. It had the power, but it also offered the light and the way to the world. The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus to walk with us in just the way we need. I heard over my shoulder saying, well, sometimes this and sometimes that. And yes, that is true. So don't stop with one image. Let God grow and work in you. If we safely relegate the Holy Spirit to just Pentecost, and we get uncomfortable if the pastor even mentions it in a children's sermon, we aren't pulling out this hard to define but important aspect of God that stretches our faith, and we're not seeing God here and now. Jesus says the world won't see him, but we will. The words are, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. Because he lives, we have life. Jesus did this for us, incorporated us into this relationship, entrusting that powerful flame to our fragile hands. The verses continue. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is that weaving thing. The Spirit abides with you, in you. This isn't some creepy possession story, but it's exactly the companionship that we need. You're not alone. Ask any of our Stephen ministers or deacons the power of walking alongside someone, of being there, abiding in and with each other. Turn to a friend, turn to your church. You are not alone. The power of being the children of God is trusting in Jesus, that the greatest commandment is to love one another. If we look at the scripture just a little bit closer, the newer translations, instead of saying Jesus is sending an advocate, say Jesus is sending another advocate. Someone just like Jesus, who was there for and with us, will now walk alongside us, just like he did. Knowing we're an integral part of this relationship, knowing we're valued enough for God to abide in us, how do we love deeper? Jesus is in the Father. Okay, that I got it. But then we're in Jesus. And Jesus is in us. God walking the world, making sure nobody is lonely. Loving the world one person at a time. Each person pulled in, and not just sort of, all the way in. In our baptisms, we're welcomed into the church. We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not baptized and told, okay, now sit back and relax. We're called to go and make disciples. For John, this would have been phrased as, now go and love. Go and connect. In a world that works to unravel and disconnect, this might be as simple as an unexpected smile. It might also be hard or as difficult as a political compromise or welcoming an enemy to my table. This passage is all about the package of the Holy Spirit wrapped up in the middle of love. In relationship with God, we respond to that love by sharing it and by reflecting the Holy Spirit back out into the community and further into the world. Be that sparkle of joy. Be that compassionate friend. Be the justice champion. Be a shoulder to lean on. Be the listening ear. Embrace your gifts for relationship, your special, unique way to love deeper. It sounds like it's easiest evangelism I've ever heard. Love is transforming the world. It's a revolution standing up to authorities that seek to divide. Love is a power set loose, harnessing our compassion for each other and trusting that relationship with us and with God is everything. It is God in us and us in God. As the church, we're the community of the Spirit, coming alongside each other to be that very advocate, the Paracletos in me and in God and in you. God will be revealed. All you need is love. So what does that mysterious Spirit look like? Where do you see the Holy Spirit? Look in the mirror. It looks just like you. Amen.